So this morning, we're going to talk about winning at the game of life. How many want to win at the game of life? It says it's truthfully. Let's face it, we all want to win. But Jesus' concept is a little different. But let me give you, first of all, some Super Bowl shockers you won't believe. Are you ready for this? According to the National Chicken Council, Americans will consume 1.25 billion chicken wings this afternoon. One in seven, or 48 million Americans, will order takeout or have food delivered to them on game day. 60% of takeout that's ordered today is pizza. Chips are close behind. An expected 11 million pounds of chips will be consumed today. 4 million pounds of pretzels. 2.5 million pounds of nuts. And you might respond, well, we're all nuts. Popcorn. Consumers are anticipated to eat 30 million pounds of snacks total, with 3.8 million of those being popcorn. Further, research suggests that people will take in a minimum of 1,200 calories and 50 grams of fat just this afternoon for the game. And that's from snacking alone. The California Avocado Commission estimates that in the week leading up to the Super Bowl, 12 million pounds of avocados will be purchased. On the actual day, today of Super Bowl, Americans will consume 8 million pounds of guacamole. I know that's not just at your house, but that's what is expected. The average Super Bowl party is expected to have 17 guests. So it's not a surprise that this is the second most grilling day, barbecue grilling day, second only to the 4th of July, and 10% of all Americans will serve some kind of grilled food, including hot dogs and hamburgers, bratwurst and steak. Americans, this is the sad stat, but realistic, will drink 50 million cases of beer this weekend. And that's $10.8 billion. Americans will be spending $2.37 million on sodas and other soft drinks during Super Bowl weekend. How many want an antacid right now? Antacid sales see an average increase of 20% the day following the Super Bowl. 6% of Americans call in sick that day. There's a reason why they don't call it Super Monday. Pretty crazy. The things people do to celebrate or drown their sorrows. Because it doesn't matter what side you're on, you're eating on Super Bowl Sunday. Well, I'm not here to make a god out of football. I don't do that even when the Seahawks go to the Super Bowl. But it's better when they do. But every year, we take a look at the most important part of the game and use this as a theme, because there are some real powerful elements of truth that belong and go with team sports. If you want to win, you got to suit up, you got to show up, you got to strengthen up, you got to take the field, and you got to play to win. How do we do that? How do we win the game of life? I'm going to say some possibly familiar things, but there's an application that I want you to say in your own heart. Lord, if I've heard this before, won't you arrest my attention in a fresh way, because I want to win at what you want me to win at. It all begins with an attitude of the heart. Now, some of you know about the WSU team. I was a Cougar. And my beloved bride, Pastor Sherry, was a Husky. Yeah. And we all know the WSU Cougars are better. Yeah. No, not really. Actually, when you go to my house at 240 Maple Lane, you'll see two flags out on a big stump. And the Husky flag is erect and the WSU flag's hanging down. I got to fix that. But this year, the Cougars had an incredible season for the football team. There was a suicide of the person who was anticipated to be quarterback, and the whole community of Pullman was shocked and in despair, honestly. And then along comes a guy from back east, a Mississippi man originally, but his name was Gardner Minshew. How many remember Gardner Minshew? Gardner Minshew. Anybody ever, everybody watch him? Two people are interested in this. The rest of you are ready to go home. He had an absolutely incredible season, and he had been a walk-on. He had been at other places, and he came to WSU as a senior. Let me just tell you a little bit about what happened. He was ending up being named the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year. He also was given the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award, and that award goes to the best senior or fourth-year quarterback, and he threw this last year for 4,776 yards and 38 touchdowns just this year alone. In his previous three seasons, he'd only thrown for 37 touchdowns. This year, he threw for 38 touchdowns. He completed 70.7% of his passes, attempted over 662 passes over 13 games. Arguably, the most impressive part of this stat is he only threw 9 interceptions. It's an amazing set of statistics. Hopefully he's got a shot at the NFL, but last week or whatever it was, he didn't do too well in the Senior Bowls, but people think he'll be a walk-on free agent or possibly low taken in the draft that takes place. But I'm after something here. It was this amazing turnaround for the WSU Cougar football team. And I'm going to use this as an illustration to hang our hat on, because there's something I want you to know. If you didn't go to WSU, you might not know this. But if you went to WSU in the 80s, even in the 90s, and probably even sooner, you probably heard this phrase. What would happen is the Cougars would go out, take the football field, and they would do an amazing play, a series of amazing plays. They would end up with that lead. And man, the crowd goes wild at Martin Stadium. And those of us who would watch just go wild. Wow. And then a really terrible play would take place, where WSU would have a turnover, they'd lose the ball, Or the kicker would try to kick a field goal, and it would go to the left or to the right and do the hokey pokey all around and not go between the uprights. And here's what you would find. A gasp, and then this huge sucking noise as all of the air went out of the stadium. And it would be very quiet. And people would turn to each other and they would say a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it went like this. They are cooging it. They're cooging it. We don't hear they're huskying it if they blow it. We don't hear they're Montanaing it. See hockey in it, although we could. They're cooging it. Now listen, what you believe determines how you live. Biblically, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, that verse comes from a section of Scripture that is a very negative section of Scripture. If you sit down to eat with someone whose heart is not with you, it might be a rich ruler you've gone to eat with, and that rich ruler may give you snow job on the outside, tell you how great you are, but the Scripture says, but in his heart, he's thinking awful things and doesn't want you there to eat his food. And the instruction from Scripture is be aware what he thinks in his heart is really where he's at. But it is instructive for us as believers. What is in your heart comes out by what you really do and live. As a man or woman thinks in their heart, so they are. And when the gasp would go over the field, they're cooging it. For years, that is exactly how it played. But that says something to us in our own walk and in our own life. what you believe. So if we really want to win at this game of life, and it's not a game with the Lord, but we need to listen carefully, be holy, fully, completely jumped into the river of God, and we need to fully and wholly surrender to Him, get His heart, His mind, begin to read and devour and love this, and begin to think like He thinks. The Bible says we need and we have the mind of Christ. How many have the mind of Christ here this morning? Now, without a show of hands, you can if you want. How many in your mind goes astray every now and then, just rarely every? 1982, you had a bad thought. So you recognize along with me that maybe it's not fully the mind of Christ yet. So if I want to win at this thing in life, I need to wholly surrender to my Jesus. And I need to be what He wants me to be. I need to be on Jesus' team. His way. His game. His style. His word goes. And then I see real success. What's His perspective? He teaches us how to pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where?
On earth.
As it is in where?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. You're just supposed to be a nice little Christian who goes to church on Sunday morning, leaves the building, and you don't say anything to anybody else about Jesus all week long because you make us feel uncomfortable. Just shut up. Just be a Sunday morning Christian. Because someday, in heaven, someday, you're all going to have victory. Well, how many victories do you need in heaven? It's already won, right?
Yes.
Where do we need the victory? Right now, in the nasty now on earth. So we go, Lord, bring your kingdom in me and on earth as it is in heaven. But how do we do it? Number one, embrace your goal. Embrace your goal. If you're taking notes, write it down. Embrace your goal. We want to choose and need to choose to find God's purpose, God's goal. We need to be about the business of bringing His purpose to pass. Someone say amen or oh no.
Amen.
I want to bring His purpose to pass. Now, some people just look for folks to argue with and complain about the present darkness, and they just want others to come and gather around them. But others, and let's be those who are in the others category, move forward to do what Jesus wants us to do. And we want to shine His light in Port Townsend and Port Hadlock and Irondale and Chimicum, and we want to shine His light in Port Gamble and Port Ludlow and Port Angeles and Squim and all places in between. And we want to go to Silverdale, and we want to go to Gig Harbor, wherever you go. We want to shine the light of Jesus, don't we? Come on, don't we, church? Come on, you got to talk back to me this morning. It's Super Bowl Sunday. When I was in high school, I was a yell leader. So if I yell, you just yell right back with me, all right? Someone say amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. We want to be those who help usher in a new move of God. What you believe determines how you live. What you choose determines how will you spend the rest of your life. We all have choices to make. Can you say with me, maybe you just put up one hand, one finger, or if there are more, you put up 10 fingers. How many ever made a stupid decision? Oh, I should see every hand go up. Yeah, all fingers. My toes are up in the air. But you see, that's the beauty of the grace of God. He forgives us. He has mercy on us. He picks us up. He washes us clean. He says, okay, Kev, I see you. I got you. He picks me up, blows the dirt away, washes me clean by the blood He shed on Calvary, and He puts me on a brand new step and a brand new foundation. That's the good news. And He can redemptively make something of my life that I could never make on my own. And He can say, now go out and help me bring my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Wherever you go, shine my light. Whatever you do, wherever, when you see family members and friends, and that doesn't mean you have to shove the gospel down their throat. You just live it like a beacon in front of them. And pretty soon somebody's going to, even if they don't say it, they're going to look and they go, they're going to either think that person's crazy or wonder what got into them. And what got into me is Jesus. And I'd love for Him to get into you. But we've been talking about this for weeks now, about setting your heart, fixing your heart, about making a choice. And He's working through a people who are fixed in heart and determination. Lord, your goal, let it be my goal. Your determination, let it be my determination. Your plan, your purpose, I want to embrace your goal. Now, what does the word embrace mean? Embrace means accepting or supporting something willingly or enthusiastically. Not just showing up on Sunday morning, but glad to be here. Yes. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I want to see what God's doing. And if I have something in my heart at all that wants to miss it, I deal with that and I say, oh, come on, let's go be in the house of God with His people. And let's see what He's going to do this morning. Proverbs 29:18. Where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. The King James says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Other verses say, dwell carelessly. If there's no vision beating in your heart for what God wants to do, then you dwell carelessly. When Moses went into the mountain to meet God in the book of Exodus, you find that he left Aaron in charge. After a while, after he'd been up on the mount for a while, up comes this roar from down below. And Joshua's up there with Moses, and he goes, Moses, Moses, there's the sound of war in the camp. And Moses turned to him and says, that ain't the sound of war. That's the song of the eagle's song. Says, there's a party going on. That's the people turning away so quickly because that vision, that goal of God, wasn't yet beating in their heart and spirit. They turned to the flesh. When we don't embrace the goal that God has for us to be what He wants us to be, you know, guys, the reality is, and we can just all be honest about it, we begin to turn to the flesh. How many know we're going to fill our life with something? Right? You're not going to sit there as an empty vacuum. You're going to fill your life with something. So if you want to fill your life with God and His goal, you stay in the Word, you stay with church, you encourage other believers, and you keep growing. But if you let it go, then all of a sudden the flesh begins to be our choice. Embrace your goal. I want to encourage you this morning, find your one thing. Say that with me. Find your one thing. Say it again. Find your one thing. Here's what Paul says in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet, Paul is admitting. But one thing. Say it with me. One thing. Again. One thing. One more time. I just hard of hearing this morning. One thing I do. What's that one thing you do? Paul said, I forget what's behind. The mistakes, the sorrows, the sins, anything wicked I've done, that's under the blood of Jesus. I'm a new person. I'm a new man. I'm a new woman. I'm washed clean by the blood of Jesus. So I'm not going to reach back for what's in the past. I'm going to reach forward for that which is to come. And I'm reaching out to take hold of the destiny God has birthed for me. And I've got a will and God's will. And I've got a goal to achieve in my life. And I'm moving forward to that thing God wants. I'm forgetting what's behind. I'm reaching forward to what's before. Because I see Jesus ahead, don't you? Yes. I press for the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I embrace the goal. Number two, embrace the Lord. Have you met Coach Jesus? Embrace the Lord. You set your heart on Him. You make Him. Come on, make Jesus that one thing. That doesn't mean you're a monk sitting in a corner all day long. That's not what I'm talking about. But He's first. He's foremost. If you make Jesus first and foremost in your life, then all of life will flow from that choice, that decision. The rest of your life will flow from that surrender to the Lord, to the Master, to the Coach. And then you play this game of life how He wants you to. And guess what? Even if it's trouble down here in eternity, you will have won at the game of life because you surrendered to the Coach. Embrace the Lord. Set your heart on Him. Make Him your one thing. Then you get His game plan. And if you want to discover fresh goals, you won't do it without Jesus. Your goal can't be an it. It's Him. You got lots of it goals that can flow out of making Him your first goal. but it's Him. Put Jesus first, no matter what. If you walk through difficult circumstances and you've made Him first, Jesus will show up there with you. Well, Pastor Kev, I don't always feel Him near. That's right. But He's always there. Even when there's a tear, He is always there. He sees you. Matthew 6:33, but our determination, how do we embrace the Lord? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Everything that concerns us, all the rest flows, all the its for goals flow from the one setting of goal, to embrace the Lord. Pastor Sherry shared about a fantastic section of Scripture. Thank you again, Pastor Sherry, for being so faithful to set the flow for worship. Here's what it says, Psalm 24, verses 4 through 6, out of the Passion, you heard it this morning. Here's the one thing. Come on, say it with me. Here's the one thing I crave from God. The one thing I seek above all else, I want the privilege of living with Him every moment in His house, finding the sweet loveliness of His face, filled with awe, delighting in His glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to Him that He takes pleasure in my every prayer. In His shelter, in the day of trouble, that's where you'll find me. His heart was fixed, wasn't it? I know where I'm going, and if it's a tough time, I'm not walking away from God. If my spouse dies, Bill's here. Those who Elaine's here, Gail's here, others of us who lost spouses, Chris is here. We're focused and fixed. I'm going to see Jesus. I want to hear from Him. I'm not leaving Him behind. Life turned a difficult circumstance, but I surrender to the Lord because He is the one who is in charge. Amen. He smuggled me into His secret place. Don't you love that? It says there, He smuggled me into His secret place where I'm kept safe and secure. I've said it before. I've asked you before. I lived in 28 places before I was 18 and a lot more places since then. But every place I ever moved, maybe you were like me, I always looked if there was a secret passageway somewhere. Did you ever do that? You know, you're always looking for the secret passageway. Well, you found it in Jesus, and it's not so secret. Surrender to Him and you find the passageway of life in Jesus Christ. But He keeps me out of reach from all my enemies. Triumphant now, I'll bring Him my offerings of praise, singing and shouting with ecstatic joy. Yes, listen, and you can hear the fanfare of my shouts of praise to the Lord. Spend time with the coach, Coach Jesus. Make Him embrace the Lord. If you're going to catch the coach's vision, you got to spend time with the coach. If you miss practice, and sometimes that happens, but if you make a point of missing practice just willy-nilly, if you don't avail yourself of the opportunities to hang with the coach, you won't know what's on the coach's heart for you. The head coach, one of the most important responsibilities of every head coach, no matter what the sport is they have a goal and vision for every player on their team to help them improve. If you want to improve, if you want to grow, if you want to go in the right way, hang out with Coach Jesus. Amen? The coach knows what you need. Listen, this is kind of an ouch one, but listen to this. It's been said, if you really want to do something, you'll find the way. If you don't, finish it with me. You'll find an excuse. Ouch! Some people don't take time with Jesus because they've heard they're supposed to have this bronze hour. I don't have an hour set aside to just take time with the Lord. And you know, listen, it doesn't have to be some bronze hour or magic hour. Just talk to Him. Just tell Him what's on your heart. You know, turn off the TV, turn off your CD player, turn off your music digital program. That's all well and good. But talk to the Lord. And you go, well, Pastor Kev, I can't sing too well. That's all right. The Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord. And you can do that right along with me. And we can give Him our praise. And thanks, Lord, for letting me live. Thanks, Lord, that I'm still here. And thanks that You're still here. And thanks, Lord, for Lord, hear me. I want to praise You, but I got something on my heart here. And I don't know what to say. I don't even know how to formally talk about it. You don't have to use these. You don't have to use those. You don't have to be formal. You just can talk to Jesus. Because Coach Jesus hears you. Embrace the Lord. Number three, embrace the Word. Embrace the Word. Coach has a playbook. We're talking about winning at the game of life. Coach Jesus has a playbook, and we've got one too. Hold up your Bible with you this morning. whether it's on your phone, your tablet, no matter where you're getting it, or you're reading it, that Bible is the coach's playbook. Someone say amen.
Amen.
That's where you're going to find how to live, how to walk, how to plan, how to have vision, how to make his goal your goal. It's in the book. Be a man or woman of the book. Say it. I am a man or woman of the book. Psalm 119, 105 out of three translations. New King James. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Out of the Message. By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. Out of the Passion Translation, there's a truth, a shining light guides me in my choices and decisions. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. A man tells a story that when he was a younger boy, he was very proud in the old days to carry the lantern for his Sabbath school teacher, was how he put it. And their way to school led them through some very muddy streets. And on this one occasion when they were walking, he held the lantern up way too high. And they stepped off straight down deep into some horrible mud. And the teacher looked at the boy. Now, I don't know the vocal inflection. You can make that up yourself. And said, "Hold the lamp lower." The teacher then beautifully put in perspective this text. It's the Word of God that'll show you how to walk step by step. Hold it down so you can see that next step. We all wish, and I've said it before, that scripture said, "Thy word is a beacon for my forehead." You know, that I can see it, man, I see the next mile. I can see out there, I know exactly what's coming up. And the Lord said, "Look, if you'll just walk with me step by step, my word, my spirit, I," the Lord says, "will guide you." Even if we don't always know what's coming next. It's called faith. You get to know the coach. You get to know the playbook. And you embrace him. And you go, okay, even if I can't see it, he's got the bigger vision. You know, sometimes the play callers aren't just right there on the sidelines. They're up in that booth above. You've seen that on television, right? You know why? They see the big picture. The overall picture. Stay on the path. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. You'll find you'll have victory when you do. Hey, listen, how many know there's a lot of distractions right now? A lot of things will take your time if you don't want to fill up with the Word of God. A lot of things. How many are excited about 5G? 5G coming. Nobody besides me. Okay, Dan, you, Vern, probably. Nope, Vern's not. All right, well, so we were talking to some guy. We said, "So why is 5G so cool?" And this guy, his eyes got real big. He's on the internet all the time. He goes, "Because when you pop in your address into 5G, it goes, boom, it's there." I was reading a story the other day about surgeons being in a different country. In 5G, we'll be able to operate robots in a different country to perform surgery right there in real time. Now, there's a lot of problems with all this. You know, Internet of Things, giving up control. You know, but there are a lot of cool things that might be useful, but could also be very distracting. Fill up with the Word of God. Fill up with the Word of God. Then when you go to those things, they don't control you, you control them. Amen? Embrace the Word. Embrace the Word. And number four, embrace the team. Christianity is not a loner league or a spectator sport. There's a spiritual principle called being a participant versus spectator. You understand that the spectators can be very changeable. The spectators in the game can be cheering for the player one moment and jeering that player the next. How many have done it? Okay, how many are not honest? Oh my. You know, you can be cheering and then you're jeering because they're changeable. And the participants are on the floor playing for their life. The Colosseum in Rome in ancient days, spectators called for the blood sport of killing the Christians. It was the participants who either fought or stood in surrender to God with their hands raised and counted it an honor to yield to Him. Participant, spectator. Listen, if that's where you are, and I pray it's not, but if you're a spectator this morning, come off the sidelines. No sitting on the sidelines. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Jump in. How many learned to swim by standing on the shore? Come on, you learn to swim. You're okay. You could study it all day long. I'll watch the film, coach. Says you got to jump in. If you want to sit by, you won't fully see the game. And you won't see how it comes out. It passes you by. You got to stand up when the team is up and play and participate. Number two, let the coach in, and then you'll be letting the truth out. Let the coach in. You'll let the truth out. Ask for help when you need it. Ask Jesus. Ask us. Ask people for help. And everybody can keep improving their game. You'll read about some of the greatest people in their tops of their profession. Most all of the golf professionals who have played at the top of their game still have a coach. Some of the top flight players, quarterbacks, etc., still have a coach because they want to keep growing and improving. There's either let me alone or there's let me grow. In this room, I'd like to see the show of hands. How many are saying, Lord, let me grow? Let me grow, Lord. And as we progress into 2019, Lord, give us fresh opportunities to embrace you, to embrace your word, to embrace your truth, to embrace your goal, to embrace being a part of the team. Watch this, Hebrews 12:25. Out of the passion, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. Say it with me. We need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. So today, billions of people around the earth are probably going to watch what's called the Super Bowl. There'll be controversies. There'll be plays that don't get judged right or penalties that don't get called. And there'll be jeering and there'll be cheering and one will be a loser and one will be a winner. But I'm looking at a group of people who have made a choice to be in the house of God. Who have said, with Jesus, there's no loser here. We're going to embrace Him and embrace His goal. We're going to embrace His word. We're going to embrace Coach Jesus. And we're going to be what He wants us to be. And then when we leave this place, we're going to have let Him in and we'll let His truth out. And we're going to keep growing. And guess what? When it's all said and done, as you've embraced Him, you will be able to say, I have won at this game of life. Stand with me, would you please? Musicians, will you come? If you're here this morning and you've not surrendered to Jesus, it's the day to do so. We'll be honored to lead you to the Lord. If you've never specifically prayed, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you, come pray with one of us. We'd be honored to help you. Join the right team because He loves you so much. Remember Wednesday at 1 o'clock at 240 Maple Lane, we're going to be celebrating together again. But above all, know that Jesus loves you so much that He wants you to be that winner in the Lord. Winner with Him as the coach. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this morning that you have done everything good in our lives. We've had this privilege to come and hang out together and encourage each other and take communion and not just religious exercise, but really understanding and growing and knowing that you're in charge. And Lord, we are thankful to be a part of your team. We pray that you will be exalted in our lives as we go from this place this week. We go, Lord, with a spirit of thanksgiving because you are good all the time. Amen? Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Be released, winners in the Lord. God bless you. Have a great day.